Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking a very serious question today. Should Christians vote? And perhaps you say that's a very simple answer. Yes. But you'd be surprised how many people do not find it a simple answer. Just before the news break, I was reading an elongated article. I'm going to go back to that to reintroduce this portion of the broadcast. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you, your dialogue and discussions. Invited. If you believe that Christians should vote, tell me why. If you believe that Christians ought not to vote, tell me why. If you believe that the Christians are being silent today and they should speak up, tell me what your thoughts are as to the answer. But going back to this article that I find so fascinatingly correct, and it talks about the need for Christians to vote. It says here are the most common rationales non-Christian, non-voting Christians cite. Number one, their particular church denomination tells them they are citizens of heaven or not to be a part of the world, and therefore you don't need to vote. Or number two, they're so upset to the government corruption that they feel constrained and they're contaminated just by reading and hearing about the issues. Number three, they believe God will determine who leads America without any help from people. Number four, they believe that the church and the state should be separate. Or number five, they believe their focus should be on the gospel, not on politics. And finally, perhaps underlying all of these reasons, number six, they've given up hope of any good ever coming out of Washington, regardless of who's elected. I've heard those statements, Pastor Davis, so many times it will just surprise the average person. So this writer in this article summarizes it this way. And this is the point that I want to make, ladies and gentlemen. He says, so here's my last-minute message to any non-voting Christians. The history of Christianity is full of martyrs, believers who were burned alive, sewn in half, crucified to defend their faith, which they endured willingly, even gladly. Today, you're not being asked to endure torture, death, but rather just to get out of bed, get in the car and drive to your polling places and cast your ballot, affirming everything good and not the most abominable evils imaginable, so that your own children and your grandchildren and your families might inherit a safe and decent country in which to grow up in just as they did. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have put it any more succinctly, any more correctly or directly than that writer did. I find it fascinating, sadly, that so many Christians will not vote and think that they ought not to, that they have a right to simply abstain from the voting. In fact, David Barton on God, abortion, and why Christians must vote makes this statement. He says, and I introduce it by saying this, David Barton, the founder and president of Wall Builders and author of the book, The Founder's Bible, Barton told the pro-life audience that abortion isn't a new issue and said he doesn't know why people think abortion was not an issue 200 years ago. The founding fathers who wrote and talked about abortion. James Wilson, for example, said the human life is protected by common law. John Witherspoon explained that in America, people know that God creates life, not parents. Therefore, you can't take a life that doesn't belong to you. He continued by saying, if you're wrong on life issues, you're not going to protect the Second and the Fifth Amendment, marriage and property rights. If Congress won't protect life, he said, they will not protect your money and your future. It is a viable thing that we need to grasp, Pastor Davis, that we have a society today in the political arena that's gotten so far away from the concept of the creation of government, civil government by God, that they think that once they go into office, they're gods to themselves, that we're simply their subjects, and we're simply to be obedient and submissive as their subjects. But our constitutional republic, ladies and gentlemen, makes it totally different. In a constitutional republic, we elect those in a representative form of government, send them to our local governmental agencies, to the state, and to the national level, and we have the authority to say, you're not doing a good job. You need to come back home. And so we're going to go and vote you out and replace you with someone that's going to stand for good and for godliness and for what the principles of Scripture tell us. The ladies and gentlemen, we need to follow the Word of God and vote for those that are going to stand up for biblical principles, for ethics and values and morals that's set forth by the Word of God.
Amen.
But I want us to discuss the question that looms in the minds of so many, and as we've challenged in this broadcast today, should Christians vote? Let me, Pastor Davis, and then I want you to speak to the issue. Let me just quote an article. It's in the Decision Magazine, October 22, and it's by Franklin Graham. He says, on November the 8th, tens of millions of voters will head to the polls across America in the most crucial midterm election in recent history. To say that much is at stake is a gross understatement. It isn't just control of Congress. It may be our last chance to stop the immoral and ungodly policies that have brought our great nation to the moral brink of disaster. The floodgates of Sodom and Gomorrah have seemingly swung wide open in the past 2 years. The spirit of Antichrist is pervading our nation, hating the things of God. Many of our leaders now advocate for and defend such abominable behavior as same-sex marriage, gay rights. They are a staunch supporter of transgenderism, which is nothing but a lie from hell. Those who flaunt this ungodly lifestyle are sold out and devoted to taking this lie as far as it can go and reaching our children and the next generation through our educational system. They don't care if a biological male goes into a girl's bathroom under the disguise of being a female. I say disguise because there's no such thing as transgender. It's a made-up word by a godless culture that openly defies God's unique creation of male and female. Every infant in every hospital, in every state, and indeed around the world, is born genetically a boy or a girl, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is, this is perhaps the most important midterm election that we've seen in our lifetime, especially in the recent history. And a non-vote is a vote to continue the trajectory that this nation is upon. And the trajectory that we are going in is a total diminishing of, eviscerating of, destruction of the morals and the ethics and the values, what is called the old term, the warp and the woof, that is the actual fabric of our nation. And so, Pastor Davis, what charge would you give to our listeners? What challenge would you lay before us from a biblical standpoint, from a godly Christian standpoint, as to the rationale, the reason that a Christian needs to vote and understand what's happening if we don't?
Well, the number one thing, Dr. Youngblood, I would want to say to anyone that will not vote as a believer, if you're going to sit on your two hands and not vote, you don't have a reason to complain.
That's right.
Whatever
none,
happens.
None whatsoever.
It's a direct result because you sat there and did nothing when you had a chance to do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure we understand that.
Yes.
Because your vote
counts.
Really counts.
Absolutely. More this time than
right.
in history.
Right. So let's not, because, I mean, really, Dr. Youngblood, as we keep saying, we've said this more than one time.
That's right.
This president comes on almost every time he makes a speech, and these words don't depart from his mouth. He says the soul of this nation is at stake.
That's right. And it is. He doesn't realize how right he is.
I don't take that literally.
That's
because
right.
he said, I take it spiritually as well.
Absolutely.
Because we are in a spiritual battle.
That's right.
The scriptures say we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
So if we're not doing this, then we're not doing our job. Because getting back to what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, if we don't pray for the leaders that we have, and if we don't pray, especially on election day,
mm-hmm.
before we go and throw a switch, we need to pray before we go down there.
Absolutely.
And make sure that we are fully informed.
Absolutely.
So that we don't make a decision at the spur of the moment.
And that we say, not my will, but yours be done.
Amen. Amen.
Casting a vote based on the scripture.
There is no reason to go down and just to make just flip a switch and
That's
make
right.
a vote
Amen.
Based upon, I mean, being uninformed.
I believe our lines are full right now. I believe Jose is first. Jose, go over with your question or comment, please.
Hey, I got a question for the brother in Georgia. You know, I know he's black, and I got a question for him. I got a lot of customers that are black, and they so call themselves Christians. But as soon as they start talking about the situation, and I try to reason it with them, they just talk about racism. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible come before anything else? They just reason on the color of the skin. And I say, listen, abortion up to 9 months, homosexual marriage, transgender. Oh, no, but at least this president is not racist. Brother, is there any way that these people can get out of that mindset? Because as far as I know, we as Christians first. We need to put the Bible first instead of anything else. And they just keep circling around in racism. Even though the Bible says that we are new creatures in Christ, the old thing passed, they are all made new. Look at this so-called phony pastor in Georgia, Warnock, members of his congregation. He called himself a pastor, agreeing with all this nonsense. My question to you, brother, is how do you feel in your community? Why they don't see what the scripture teaches, and how are we supposed to vote? They disregard all of that, but they just look at the color of the skin. That's my question for you, brother. It's very sad. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Good question, Jose. Pastor Davis, respond to that.
Well, let me say this to you, my brother. Everyone in the black community does not feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Only those who are unlearned
right.
and uninformed in the Word of God
yes.
as to who they are in Christ. Now, first, as believers, no matter what the skin color.
That's right.
We must identify with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If we have not established identity, meaning you knowing who you are, what you are and where you came from.
In Christ. Mm-hmm.
You cannot make the right decision for anything. Because when people talk to me and they ask me questions, first of all, even if they have not seen my face, like many have not seen my face except it being announced on the radio, what the color of my skin is.
Right.
If you have not seen my face and you ask me questions about who I am, first I will tell you that I am a Christian first.
Amen. Amen.
Then I am a black man.
Amen.
I'm not a black Christian man. I'm a Christian black man.
Amen.
So establish that identity first.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the problem, brother, right there. Mm-hmm. They have not established their identity with Christ, who they are. So for that reason, they have not left off being ingrained into the moral fabric of a fallen society. So now racism and all these other things that are going on that's prevalent in society, they can't depart from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a stumbling block as to why they cannot make the right decision.
Well, number one, Pastor, and you agree with this, you and I've talked about it before, and then we'll get to our next caller. Multitudes today in the black community still want to depend on the plantation mentality that the Democrats have placed them on, and they think that they still need to look at it as the one that is the boss at the company, the one that's the owner of the company, the one that's the political leader, that they're the ones that have the final say-so on whether or not it's racism or not.
Amen.
Racism is a crock. Racism is a crutch. Racism is a cop-out. Racism is a term that if they don't like what you say theologically, doctrinally, biblically, politically, they just say, oh, you're a racist.
Amen.
Some called Rush Limbaugh a racist, not realizing that the producer of his show and his best friend was a black man.
Amen. Amen.
And yet
Amen.
They call him a racist.
So, I mean, if we go back to Scripture now, let's make sure we understand.
God created one race.
Let's go to Matthew 24. On the day when Christ get ready to separate, when he makes the separation, the sheep from the goats, he's not separating according to skin color.
That's right.
So this is telling me, even in heaven, there is no race up there, Dr. Youngblood.
God created one race. It's the human race. And what we've done in the political agenda today is the Marxist ideal, and the Marxist goal is to divide the nation by racism. The Marxist three main points is to destroy the nuclear family, to divide the nation, and dethrone God.
Amen.
We're on the fast track
Amen.
For that.
And they are succeeding, and it's sad to say that.
Christians can't allow them to succeed.
We have to make sure we get the call right.
Yes, absolutely.
Right now, while we have a chance.
And the Jose mentioned about Warnock. I call him the warlock. He is the furthest thing from a Christ-loving, God desiring biblicist in the pulpit. He is one that is the enemy. He is the one that Matthew chapter 7 talks about, the one that's in sheep's clothing, but is masquerading as a sheep, but is an enemy
Amen.
And can be destructive. He is out to destroy because he's out for his position and his renown. That's all.
Amen.
I believe we have
Amen.
Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Greetings to you and Pastor Davis. Right?
Good morning.
Before I make my comment, I would have a question for both of you. I ask you if you think that the abortion in enterprise or industry, whatever it is, the multi-billion. That it is possibly in a way populating God's eternal kingdom. Would you think that this out of evil comes that possible? The abortion industry is actually populating God's eternal kingdom. That's how it come to me that could be what is going on actually.
If I understand your question, Lily, I don't look at it from the standpoint that abortion is populating God's kingdom in heaven.
Yes.
I look at it on the basis that it's man's desire to be in control. Yes. If God is not on the throne, if God is not recognized, that individual is making the decisions to murder a human being in the womb.
Yes.
The mindset,
yes.
The mantra that a woman has control of her own body is a lie from hell. It is
right.
not
it's
so. That body that's in the mother's womb is a human being that God created according to Psalm 139. And we need to recognize that and honor that. And we need to, Christians, go to the poll and vote against any political leader, any political candidate that stands for abortion, like Charlie Crist in the state of Florida. We need to say no 10,000 times no.
I was just thinking that as evil and wicked as it is, that in the long run, though all those lives that are destroyed will be in God's eternal kingdom. That's the way I was looking at it. But I see what you're saying, that we don't want to think that doing it is having any good. It's evil and wicked. But in the long run, I think every life that is being destroyed will be in God's eternal kingdom.
Absolutely. God is sovereign.
Yes,
yes. He's still on the throne.
Yes.
Lily,
I don't want to cut you short,
but thank you so much for your comments.
No,
I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Franklin, his speech, what he said, couldn't be more just to the point. And Pastor Davis has said, our identity is first in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Lily, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I like Glenn's comeback about skin color doesn't decide who you are.
Right.
I've got two sister-in-laws who are both highly educated, and they don't have a clue about voting, but that's not why I called in. But I've noticed if you ask someone who's wearing a mask, is that mask certified? Is it stamped anywhere on it where it says it will protect you against the virus? And they look at you with a blank stare. And if you ask them, have you taken the jab? And they're all glad to tell you yes. But Dr. Youngblood, a British lawmaker, asked one of the Pfizer reps, would have that vaccine been tested against COVID where it would stop it? They said no. The British lawmaker was shocked. So why is it these people who wear these masks and run, get the shots, is it just to make them feel good? What is their motivation? Would it take OAC to tell them, hey, look, you don't have to wear the mask? They'd listen to her highly intelligent mantra. What is the reason? And they get angry. They get furious when they run out of a fact or run out of a statement. Why is that?
Well, Tom, one of the major things that I see with that is that the average public, average individual in America today, they believe the demonic lie out of the Beltway in Washington. They believe the lie from the pharmaceuticals that said when the vaccinations, shots, I call it death jabs, first came into vogue. They believe the lies about the efficacy of that. And now there are multitudes that still following up on it on the basis that, look at me, I'm wanting to protect you. I'm wearing a mask. Look at me, I'm wanting to protect my family, grandma, grandpa, so I'm going to get the injection. They are not. In fact, I talked with a person that's very intelligent, person that I've known for many, many, many years, just last evening. And in my conversation with that individual, some of the things that you and I are talking about right now, he had never heard of, never been talked about, never been discussed. He wasn't familiar with the mask aspect of it, wasn't familiar with the mandate of the vaccine and the truth that's coming out now that we've been lied to. And it's used as a mass genocide on a global basis. Multitudes, in fact, one researcher said that less than 1% of the public, less than 1% of the public are informed on major, major issues in America. And that's the reason it's so important, Tom, that people go out to the polls and vote. And any vote that is for a Democratic candidate on whatever level is a vote for the destruction of the morals, the ethics, the values, the biblical principles. It's out to destroy the future of Christianity and evangelism in America. A vote for a Democratic candidate or a no vote by a Christian or a no vote by anyone that is registered to vote is a vote for the continuation of the sexualization of our children in school. It's a vote to continue the murder of babies in the mother's womb. It's a vote to continue the destruction of our educational system with teaching CRT, the critical race theory, in school. It's a vote for teaching our children to hate America, teaching our children nothing but Marxism in the classroom. And when the our listeners understand that 97% of the professors in higher education are confirmed Marxists, they brag about their Marxist roots and their background, and that's what's teaching and training our people in the colleges and the universities today. So getting back to the rudimentary fundamental bottom line is every vote counts, and every Christian must vote. We need to be salt and light in a decaying, darkened society, and we need to take a stand for truth regardless of what someone else says. As I do my partial monologue each morning and talking about truth, truth is something that is despised, rejected, and hated today, and perhaps more than ever before in the history of America. So we need to take a stand, even if people deny it, reject it, and refuse to hear it. We need to take a stand for truth, speak the truth, love the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And you're exactly right, Tom. There's so many people today that will not follow that mantra, that mindset in society. But Tom, I've got an article that says, it's by Samuel Adams, "Let every citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts given to human society, for which he is accountable to God and to his country, end quote. Tom, thank you so much for your call, for your insight on today's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question, should Christians vote? I want our listeners, Pastor Davis, to understand that as a Christian, I'm morally responsible before God.
Amen.
I'm responsible before our community in which we live in. There's a text that I believe would sum it up, Pastor Davis, in Jeremiah chapter 29.
Amen.
Turn to Jeremiah 29 and start with about verse 4 and read through verse 7. And let's talk about that for just a moment in the few minutes that we have left.
Amen. Here's what the word says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, until all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace.
We need to seek the peace of the city, the county, the state, the country that we're living in.
Amen.
The scripture says very clearly. Ladies and gentlemen, let me leave you with two or three very poignant closing thoughts about the question, should Christians vote? As we have the opportunity and the responsibility, voting recognizes God's authority over the national civil government that God's given us. Voting recognizes, a Christian's vote recognizes God's authority in civil government. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Voting represents the citizen's rights to be heard in the civil government system. Thirdly, voting by a Christian person, for the moral, ethical fabric of our society is a responsibility that we have to God through government that he's given us. Number four, voting by Christians is a physical way of placing an extension on our prayers for the leaders that we place in office. Number five, Christian vote will be salt and light needed in society. Matthew 5:13 says that we're to be salt and light. And so, Pastor Davis, that is exercising our responsibility as salt and light.
Amen.
We've got about 20 seconds, Pastor. Close out with your challenge to Christian listeners to vote.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you and I owe it to each other, as well as Christian brothers and sisters owe it to each other to have each other's back.
Yes.
In this voting process.
Absolutely.
Amen. Because the Word of God says in Amos chapter 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Amen.
Amen.
So let's trust in God. Let's support one another. And let's do our civic duty by going out and voting.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.